Big Coal smashed Little Lungs in the Supreme Court this week. I'm Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Greg Hughes on the right. We have the ultimate for political theater matchup for Senator Mike Lee's reelection. You need to hear who this will be.
Natalie Goffner in the political center. You know we're going to talk about the Supreme Court, but we're also going to talk about why Donald Trump should not be president. But first, this news. I'm Natalie Goffner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political middle, and on the political left is State Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning.
And on the political right, Speaker Greg Hughes.
Good morning, Natalie.
I know we have to talk about the Supreme Court. That is the big news. All these rulings that have come down. We're going to save it, though, for the
second segment.
And let's drill down locally, just for the local listening audience, and talk about some of what I'm going to call 2016 news, even though it's 2015, but the big elections, you know, coming up. Obviously, we have a mayoral election. We've talked some about that. That'll be in 2015. But we have Jonathan Johnson, who is increasingly starting to send out the signals that he's in for running for governor of the state of Utah as a Republican. What's going on there, Greg? I think it's serious.
He's got Dave Hansen working for him. Look, Dave
Hansen,
after a successful Orrin Hatch reelection in 2012, successful navigation of candidate Mia Love in a in what turned out to be actually, I thought, a competitive race for Congress, her second time around. I think the work he had done with Mia to get the Congressman Matheson out, which I think that was part of the math for Congressman Matheson, is why go through another very, very expensive experience. He's kind of a rainmaker, and he's on Jonathan Johnson's side. And, you know, I think that that's – I think Jonathan Johnson will be well-funded. That's always important in political competitive campaigns. And he's got a message, I think, that will resonate with a conservative Utah. So I think it's a real race.
Interesting.
I
He's chairman of the board for Overstock. He tends to lean a bit libertarian, which you know, plays well in this state.
I think that's the young person's kind of perspective anyway. It's not it's not social conservatism. It's, I think it's just kind of a leave us alone mentality.
Jim, jump in here. But so Greg says, I think it's the real deal. And I'm like, I think he's in. But I think Herbert is very well positioned.
You know, Davey Hansen, for those of you that don't know, is the premier political guru, gets everybody elected, and he manages to get his 10 or 15 grand a month fee, and then he finds other ways. He's terrific. I wish Dave would work for my campaign one day. I mean, I love the guy. But let's give him a trial one day. Let's have him run a Democrat running for governor. You know, we'll see how big
a real refiner's fire. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'll see about how big a guru he is. Just what the state needs. Another multimillionaire running out there with his own dough and an ideology. This would, I'm happy to see him in. I think it's going to muddy up the water. Gary will be dithering. But, you know, Jim, we don't need this guy. He really is almost the worst of the Republicans.
You represent the left. Who will the left put forward? And just for our listeners to know, it's not too early, meaning these things will start to take shape in the next few months. Who on earth from the Democratic side is going to put up their name here?
It's
for
so
governor?
Secret
yes.
that
for
we're not saying.
You're not saying?
What are you hearing? I don't know. I'm so out of it.
I don't know. It's that's kind of like a lamb to the slaughter, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'll tell you what, though. I've got an idea.
Let's hear it.
It's not for governor. It's the Senate race that will be the same year. Senator Mike Lee is running for his reelect. What if it were, wait for it, Mike Lee? Now, you think I just said the same name twice. Oh, no, I did not. There was
There's a
Democrat
There's
that
a different
ran.
Mike Lee.
Natalie, he ran... The Democrat, he's affiliated with the, you should love him, Jim. You probably know him. AFL-CIO, union guy.
Police
officer. All the street cred a Democrat would love.
What county?
Mike Lee.
Is it Utah County?
Salt Lake County.
Okay.
And he ran for the state legislature. That's how I know a Republican beat him. But he is a hard campaigner. Would that be the political theater that you would love to see as a Mike Lee versus Mike Lee?
Come on, Mikey.
Which one would be first on the ballot, Jim?
You know, I think...
if it got to that.
I think the clerks have some discretion on that.
I think Sherry Swenson puts Democrats first every time. I think that's kind of her gig because she's a Democrat, right?
She didn't do it in my case on the ballot. So I think they either... I don't know. Mm,
interesting.
Making it up, yeah.
You guys are both familiar with the group Real Women Run. What is it that it's going to take to get some more women lined up to run in a serious way in some of these campaigns? Okay, Greg, you're snickering. Let's hear.
There's no win for a guy to answer this question. This is a trap. This is like when your wife asks you if she looks good in something, and of course she does, and yeah. I would never say otherwise. But this question cannot truly, I think, in a way that doesn't offend someone, be answered by a guy, so I'll try. Here's what I think happens. I think that women have and will have every skill set needed to run this world and do in many ways. But when you look at running for political office and you look at some of the just the how tough it is, mm-hmm. I think people sometimes value their quality of life mm-hmm. and their purpose and their ability more so than others. I think guys tend to be a Neanderthal sometimes, yeah. and we do. I mean, we go through the abuse that
part of what I hear
smarter
you saying,
people don't want to go yeah, through. I'm just saying
the ambition that men have, the thick skin, the fighter, street fighter is what puts them in the ring and keeps women out.
Yes, and I think that, and we need. Look, I was raised by strong women. My grandmother, my mother. My first campaigns were for strong women. I married my wife's a strong woman. I'm all in with strong women. I think mm-hmm. they can run for any office and do run for office successfully. I just think that that politics is something that I think some people, male or female, look at and go, "You got to be kidding me."
Yeah.
And
so the problem is from the political middle, Jim. What we need is more civility, more collaboration. You know, more thoughtfulness. And these are feminine values that ring true, but we don't get them because the women don't put their names up.
The Wall Street 24/7 study, Utah ranked the worst state in the country when it comes to women earning money for work and for holding positions of leadership. And I see it. And our men don't know what they're doing. They don't get it. Mm. They're not there. I see committee hearings, and we're talking about appointments, and we're talking about getting some balance. And it just doesn't penetrate, perhaps, that patriarchal head.
Yeah.
You know, they get priesthood meeting mixed up with government. And time after time after time, I see, including Natalie Gochner, who was bypassed by this committee of 11 men and one woman because they said, listen to this, there's 12 of us around the table, and our job is to pick four more people for
this
some tax.
Tax review commission.
Tax review committee. I sleep
He's more
it.
Sore about it than I am, but just
I sleep through it most of the time. So our job as 12 of us is to pick the next four people. The statute says gender equality should be included. So I said to the committee chair, doesn't that mean we should pick four women? We got seven terrific women and eight terrific men for these four positions. They laughed at me and said, no, Senator, and patted me on the head and said, that means that we've got four more positions, so we need two men and two women. I said, we're 11 to 1 now.
Yeah.
Look, I'm saying I don't think it's hostility it's not redneckness. I just think it doesn't drill into their heads that it matters.
New appointment to the tax commission, Rebecca Rockwell. I'm just going to say there's, what, three of – how many are there in tax commission?
Tax commission.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you what I think people struggle with. There is this – I think there is this old school maybe mentality that's out there that we – I think in 2015 we are overcoming. But I also think that we all try to – judge people on their merit and on what they bring by way of skill set. And I think if you use the golden rule, you wouldn't want gender to work in favor or against anyone for those jobs and those qualifications. And you know, I still believe if you look at the statistics, I think that there are some household makeups out there where you have a female that works
yeah.
or that stays at home and stays. And so if you're leaving and reentering the job market more frequently than maybe other communities where the men and women work and stay inside the job market, and you're going to see a difference in pay. Anyway, I think there's a lot of issues going on there. That's not just one, but again, I've got
50th.
Nothing against women in politics. I think you absolutely need it.
We're 50th, and the problem is exactly what you say. People are saying, I'm not taking gender or I'm not taking ethnicity into account. Therefore, I'm going to pick somebody who's exactly like me because clearly that person is the most qualified, because I'm the most qualified. It is a bias that is deep down, and we need to get over it if we're going to soar as a state where we need to go.
Interesting. You know, there's something called the Women's Leadership Institute that Pat Jones is heading up. The Elevate Her Challenge, something that all of us should look at. It kind of gets at this issue. We could maybe talk more about it in another program. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. In our next segment, we'll talk about the Supreme Court.
This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Greg Hughes on the right.
Natalie Gochner in the political middle, Both Sides of the Aisle. Thanks for listening. I am going to throw out a surprise to my two gentlemen here. I get, as the sort of moderator, the freedom to do this. Sunday, July 4th weekend, the U.S. Women's National Team.
You know, I saw this and I knew at least
soccer,
one person
soccer,
that was
soccer.
So giddy and
listen,
happy.
Listen, I watched them this week play Germany. It was one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen.
Was it 1-0?
2-0.
2-0.
Oh, there you
2-0.
Go. Real barn burner. Wow. Edge of your seat. You can have the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
I will tell you, the passing, the level of skill, the patriotism, the professionalism. We even had like two gals hit heads and a big bloody, you know, mess happened on the field. There were penalty kicks. Had so much drama. I just gotta get you guys to embrace the spirit. I'm challenging you to watch it on Monday, Greg. Sunday.
Is it Bobby Fischer, Garry Kasparov at China? Is this like a chess world championship going on here? I don't know, Natalie. I tried to watch a USA men's game, and I tuned in like 2 minutes late. It was already 1-0. The whole thing was over.
Oh.
I missed the whole one.
Fourth
goal.
Of July weekend. It couldn't be better.
All right.
Well, we need to talk.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for
you. They're in the finals of the Women's World Cup in Canada. I love it. Okay, we got to talk about the Supreme Court decisions coming down left and right. This is typical June fare, but some really big ones. And let's just do them one at a time. Jim, give us the quick. Couple of days later, talk about the Supreme Court ruling.
Redistricting, a great decision that may light a fire in the state of Utah to get an initiative done so that we have an independent crowd doing the redistricting, which might be the single most important thing we could do.
If you combine count my vote reforms with redistricting reforms, that's a pretty big deal.
We might actually have a fair-minded
state. Greg's just rolling his eyes.
You're not getting – look. Will you introduce me to the to the person that has not one opinion and is truly independent of any political preference? Outside of robots or algorithms, I would like to know the people that we're going to pick that are going to look at these boundaries and make decisions void of any political consideration whatsoever. Now, I'll tell you what we did in this last redistricting. We were under what's called a litigation hold, thanks to Jim and the good Democrat Party. They had every note we would take had to be dropped in a box. Any document created through this effort had
Very
to be
clever,
archived
Jim.
And kept. And we had good nonpartisan legal staff to help us walk through this process. And I am confident that when you look and they say, you know, political boundaries, mountain ranges, I mean, you have main boundaries you have to pay attention to. I do not believe if people could see how this works, and with the checks and balances that if you get it wrong, you can't – someone can sue you. You got to defend your process.
The Supreme Court took one thing off the table, and that is you can have an independent commission.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't all the way, but
– That's good to have.
It's good to have.
How about the legalizing same-sex marriage? Give us the few – it's been a few days now. How are you reading that?
In a year – there'll be a little anniversary in 5 years. Greg Kitts will go, well, they were talking about that. That's weird.
I've actually had these conversations about our kids thinking back on, wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah, already?
No, really. Seriously. I think I think you're right.
I think it's about time. Now let's move on with other things. And the coal, there was a very important coal decision, which was made, that's going to affect the state of Utah. The EPA is trying to help the state get a healthy, reasonable policy and get rid of its fossil fuels. Of course, the state and the industry kicking, biting, screaming every step of the way. So that was the EPA's ability to regulate coal and make air cleaner versus states' rights, and 5-4 with Kennedy in the middle deciding we're going to go with the big oil, big fossil fuel lobby, and not with kids' lungs.
Or maybe they were going to pat down the overreaching EPA.
Yes, here's that decision notwithstanding, I was discouraged. Obviously, as a lawmaker, as a member of a state legislature, You know, we have a federal government because we had states that said, hey, we've got some common interests here we got to look out for. We got to have a defense. We got to have currency. We got to have this interstate commerce. There's some things that together we're stronger than as, you know, colonies or states separate, sovereign states separate. We weren't as strong. These decisions about whether it be ACA, Obamacare, mm-hmm. Where the word state is now an ambiguous term, doesn't mean necessarily a state. It means the people within. Whether it's the marriage, the definition of marriage, where when it was New York defining marriage as gay marriage, the Defense of Marriage Act was thrown out because states absolutely had the right to define marriage. But we've found out now it's more about equal protection, and states do not have that right to make that decision, which is a decision I think was going in a certain direction anyway. But again, taking the role of those legislatures out of it. And then redistricting, where again the legislature and I think plain language in the Constitution has been defined as okay, the people themselves can make these decisions in an independent mind without any politics involved. It's very Pollyanna, I think. But anyway, my point is this: we are now, I think, clearly as states, a political subdivision of this federal government. I don't like it, but I don't know how you can ignore the ultimate conclusion from these Supreme Court 5-4 decisions than. The attitude is the federal government is kind of the boss and states have their role, but certainly a sub role, a subdivision.
So if states are a subdivision of the federal government, where does that leave us with Medicaid expansion? Grant?
They can have it. Here's the deal. I honestly
you guys gave yourself a July 30-something deadline?
Yeah, we're working very hard. It was there's a lot. I was surprised that when the decision came out and those federal exchanges were seen as constitutional, many members of the media said, well, does this change everything for Healthy Utah? Is it now a moot point? Now are you going to do it? All the – what those federal exchanges existing as they always have means that the status quo and the circumstances we've been staring at are exactly the same. The only way that would have changed is if they threw those out. It would have changed everything.
But it didn't.
And it didn't. So we are working in the same – with the same set of circumstances we were prior to that decision. But I'll tell you, if states really don't mean states, then why does state expansion have to be the state of Utah doing it? Why can't you just take those federal exchanges and go all the way down and cover the gap?
Jim, you've been very patient.
No, I mean, I'm at one of those moments now. I mean, where I have to smack my good friend Greg Hughes. Yeah, they occasionally show up.
I love that bellwether. That's perfect.
Look, we were at a hearing. I can't even remember what it was about or what the issue was, but I made a very coherent – there was like 10 of us or 12. I don't even remember what committee it's on, but I made a coherent, logical, reasonable plea, and I said, we need to do this and this and this. And there was a few people – kind of on the wall. So Representative Speaker Hughes looks over and he goes, well, the good senator is dead wrong because of boom, 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 boom. And then
Well done, Greg.
And the voting looked like conference, you know, after Greg talked. You know, the. I get it. And I texted him and said, hey, bro, that's just the way it goes. So when I say this, I do it with great love and admiration. What the hell are you guys doing? You got six Republicans.
Gang of six.
Six of them. Not a Democrat. Nobody making under 150 grand a year is my bet. Everybody with health care insurance. Everybody a little bit totally out of touch with real life for a lot of people sitting in this room. And they're arguing. And the debate... This is about the health care for 123,000 Utahns. So the debate is between the people that are saying, nah, we don't want any of it, and the people who are saying we want a second-rate Healthy Utah plan. And they have been debating for months and months and months, and real people, real Utahns are hurting. They're waiting for this health care that is this close, that we've already paid for. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
$747 million of our own money by 2021, and you get these six of them that at their leisure, the session ended March 15th, they get around a meeting here and there whenever they can all do it, and they won't make a damn decision. And once they make it, then they got to go to Washington and sell the whole thing. So we're going to be another $350 or $400 million down the road while my dear friends, and actually I like virtually everybody in the room, but there they are.
So, Jim, this is an area that I tend to agree with you, right? Like, I think Medicaid expansion, you know, Healthy Utah 2.0 was a pretty good thing for the state. And so the question becomes, who takes responsibility for this? Is this a failure of leadership of the governor? Is it a failure of leadership of the Republican Party?
From me?
Yeah, from the speaker. Since you're jumping
here?
On
you
it?
Know I'm sitting right here, right? God, what is going on in here?
Everybody's turning set on it me. Up.
I think it's a collective.
There's not a lot of debate. There's not a lot of arguing going on. I think what Utah's doing is what Utah always does. We've got to take a long view. What you would be afraid to know is when you ask states that have expanded what their plan is for the portion that states will ultimately pay. Right now, it's the federal government paying for all of it. To Jim's point, if the feds want to pay it all, why would you ever slow that down? Let all that money come. Well, there's a day of reckoning. And when I have asked legislators from other states, what is your plan? I think you'd be disappointed to find out there isn't one, really.
Yeah.
There's going to be states who have hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that they will be obligated to pay, and there are not hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars laying around unclaimed in public education and other issue, other social service appropriations that are out there. Nobody's really stared at this. Utah would be the state that would take a long view and find out how we can make it sustainable and make it something that's just not pie in the sky today and sky's falling tomorrow. The ready, fire, aim approach is not one we've taken before, and haste makes waste, Jim. That's why you haven't seen it yet. We've got to get it right.
I'll give you props for your fiscal responsibility.
We're trying.
Hey, so 4th of July weekend. What do you do on the 4th of July weekend, Jim?
I go to Mexico.
This is true. You really do.
Of course you do.
You really do.
I think every Democrat does. You know that? I think that's kind of – isn't that kind of in your
So when you're in
card?
Mexico, like on the night – I mean, do you have any fireworks? Do you –
You know, it's
barbecue? Kind
of, it's a little bit sad because I go out of my way not to meet with expats when I'm in Mexico. I don't like it. Because, you know, it's just meet with your – anyway. But on the 4th of July, all the expats at Cuernavaca, we all get together and have flags and act goofy.
Excellent. Okay. Greg, how about in the Hughes family? Are you going to be at a parade? Are you
sure
in a parade?
Will. No. We go down to that Provo, that Freedom Festival parade every year. I've got pictures of my kids when they were 1 year old and up. And, you know, there was a little attempted mutiny in the Hughes home this year. No one wanted to really go, but I am committed to tradition, and we are going. I am forcing everyone to go. I love that parade. And so we will be spending our time at the Freedom Festival in the morning.
So we're going to have to go to Gripes, but I'll say that I'm a Murray resident, and Murray, 4th of July in Murray is wonderful. It's one of my favorite days of the year. We have a 5K. We have a great parade. The park's open all day long with activities, fireworks at night, and I happen to live right by the park, so everything's walking distance, and it's one of those days I really look forward to. Okay, Gripes. Jim might have one set up to go, but let's go to Greg first.
Okay, here's my gripe, and this isn't about the topic. Well, it's sort of about the topic. So we had the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage, right? Jim will tell you this. Congratulations, a historic day. This is a day that changes. It's a game changer. Mm-hmm. What my rant is today is we can't have 5 minutes of appreciating the moment. I was bombarded with media requests and questions about what's next, public accommodation, what do we do now? There is just this – I just think we all just need a little exhale here. We need to just enjoy, kind of get our heads around what's going on around us. There just seems to be this drumbeat that even on a historic day like that, we can't just absorb it. We have to – there just has to be this – I mean, my answer to everyone was, I don't know. I haven't even read the decisions in the dissents yet. I have no idea. But it's just, I think we've got to, you know, everyone chill. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my
it's
deal.
It's too hot in Utah right now.
Maybe it's the weather, Natalie, that's got me going like this. But I'm just telling you, everyone relax. Let's just see what's going on and
love one another.
Get our head together here.
Mine is totally upbeat. I just want to wish a happy birthday to Thomas Klimpy. You may remember he was the appellant in Klimpy versus New Mexico. And he was the author in the 9-0 opinion where he was the appellate. He was Gerald Ford, Secretary of Interior.
Okay, this is trivia, wow. Greg. This is a lot of trivia. Yeah.
But, well, wait till we get to the punch here.
Okay.
Justice Thurgood Marshall, voting 9-0, wrote the opinion that settled the matter as to who controls federal lands in the states. once and for all in Klempe versus New Mexico. It was decided 9-10-0. There it is. Happy birthday, Thomas Klempe. Gerald Ford's cabinet member.
I got a new rant,
member.
Natalie. My rant is that Jim's rants are lame. That was a history lesson. Why'd I got to sit through that?
And the name Klempe. Like, where did that come from? The family should have changed that name.
Jeez.
You know, I'm going to stay on the Mexico theme, and I can go a whole bunch of directions there, but Donald Trump is on my list. Oh, my goodness.
Let's go there.
Well, and I even learned, you know, through this, I guess, like, Macy's has, like, a clothesline or something of Donald Trump. Who buys that?
I had never heard of it before.
You know, like, they're not going to carry it anymore. But he, you know, gives this speech that he's running for president and just rags on Mexican immigrants. And I just think it's just entirely inappropriate. And I got to tell you, I love the Mexican people. I love their culture. I love their food. I love their language.
You love their favorite sport?
I love their soccer.
And you sent your...
And I have a 20-year-old son serving an LDS mission.
There you
beautiful.
Go.
That's
yeah,
beautiful.
And he left everything he loved to go serve those people. And for Donald Trump to dump on him, shame on him.
You know,
that's
there's
a
scenario
dump.
With the rules for the Republican debate that you could have Donald Trump in Ohio for the debate, and the governor of Ohio,
Kasich.
Because he doesn't have high enough poll numbers, is not in the debate. Oh, my gosh. They got to, like, review and revisit that rule.
This is why the Democrats are going to win. I am serious. Donald Trump is number two now in...
Actually,
in national
there's
polls.
A part of me that likes the plain speak, I got to tell you. I got to confess. I like a guy that's not overly polished.
Oh, he's just awful. So that's my rant. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I've been joined by Senator Jim DeBacchus, Speaker Greg Hughes. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Have a great 4th of July, and thanks for listening.